Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. If you're a foodie or a fan of reality television, there's a good chance you've heard of Hell's Kitchen, the anxiety-inducing cooking competition overseen by celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay is currently airing its 23rd season, and one of its most compelling competitors is a Sacramento chef. Anthony Vo is the 28-year-old executive chef of Sunrisa Senior Living in Roseville. Sadly, he was eliminated from the competition in November, but he sure won us over. I spoke with Anthony in September on the eve of the Hell's Kitchen premiere to learn about his culinary journey. Our conversation transcended from food to philosophy. Anthony, welcome to Insight.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure being here right now.
To start off, let's introduce you a little bit to our audience. Where did your passion for cooking come from?
My passion from cooking came from my grandma. She always had me in the kitchen with my aunts and with my cousins, always creating pho dishes, Vietnamese bun sail dishes, and just a lot of fresh herbs, fresh ingredients. So it started off when I was a kid and just progressively carried on more and more I got older.
And tell me what that mean to you. What influence did your grandparents and your multicultural upbringing have on your life and career?
It influenced everything. I didn't have parents growing up, so my grandparents, you know, stepped in, took that role. And instead of having me in a lot of sports like normal kids or, you know, in programs, I was always in the kitchen. I was always helping her prep food for either work or I was in the restaurant. So I kind of learned quickly how kitchens worked, ran, and the things that made it tick. And I quickly fell in love with it. That was my way of creating, my way of escaping pain, and my way of just staying off the streets and just putting my head down and just working.
So your earliest memories are in the kitchen. So your appreciation for food like almost came from the cradle, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, my first ever memory was me holding a wicker basket of fresh herbs. And then my great grandmother was picking red chilies and I tried to help her and she hit me with a backhand. So that was honestly my first memory. And that was a memory me and my grandma talked about all the time of me always trying to pick peppers and me getting hit with a backhand at like 4 or 3 years old. So since then, I always knew I had an interest of food. I just never knew it was going to progress into something beautiful like this.
And it sounds like strict parenting. Also, you were kind of used to that pressure cooker that is cooking in professional kitchens and then finally on reality TV.
Yeah, Grandma had a lot of expectations for me growing up. She held me to a very certain standard. There were times I didn't meet that standard, of course. I wanted to do my own thing, but ultimately I understood what she really meant. And like I said, growing up in Sacramento, there are so many different multicultural, you know, cuisines out here. I quickly picked up, you know, Indian, how it works with Asian. And, you know, luckily the chefs out here are great too. And working with a lot of great chefs, picked up a lot of great tips and brought that home with grandma. She didn't always like it, but, you know, she understood what I was trying to get to at that point.
You were experimenting. And so you didn't go to culinary school. It sounds like you were sort of almost learning this on the streets.
Yeah, no, I had a scholarship from San Juan High School for culinary, but things in life happen. I had to kind of stay back and take care of my grandparents for Alzheimer's and dementia. So I lost that opportunity, but I gained better opportunities connecting with really great chefs in town. They took me underneath their wing and I'm forever blessed by that.
Let's talk about some of those challenges. So you kind of mentioned it, but you did experience some unique hardship and challenges and have throughout your life. Can you talk a little about that and how these experiences have shaped you?
Yeah. You know, just starting off my life, not having the parent situation, growing up in group homes with my grandma, having her take me out. And then, you know, growing up always wondering who I was, where I belong, and finally turning, you know, 21 as an adult, getting hit with stage 3 oral cancer, just kind of put me down for a downward spiral. Here I am, first year in as the executive chef, and I can't taste anything. I lost my palate, had 3 botched surgeries, and honestly, I didn't know if I wanted to cook again. One of my chef mentors pulled me aside, and he sat me down at that table, and you know, he reached out, and he gave me an opportunity to go underneath his wing, and I did, but I didn't know if this is what I still wanted. The pain was too deep. Grandma's sick. I'm sick. What's the point of cooking still? And I'm so happy I stuck with it, stuck with my mentor, and just continued learning.
So that sounds terrifying. I mean, it's like, it almost evokes like Beethoven losing his hearing, you know, like the thing that you cherish most, you don't know if you're going to have it. And I'm curious, what was the role of food and cooking food, you know, through this ordeal?
So during this ordeal, I'm going to chemo. I'm still doing radiology, and I'm doing this before work. So before my shift, I'm already having chemicals in my system. I can't really taste, and food still is one of the only things bringing happiness to me. Cooking nights at a restaurant as just a normal cook is bringing happiness to me. And the doctors are saying I can never taste again. And you know what? I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to continue doing what I do. And if I can't, I'll find another career. But 2 years later, in some blessing way, my taste came back slowly. Started off 60%. Now we're at 95%. And I've just been thankful ever since that.
You competed on this recent season of Hell's Kitchen. How did you get connected with the show?
Oh, man. I remember this day like it was yesterday. I still have a sticky note on my desk. It was around 11:30. I was sitting at home, super stressed out off of, you know, just life. And Ethan E-Money just randomly contacted me on LinkedIn saying, hey, you'll be a great fit for Hell's Kitchen. Mind you this, I just applied for Next Level Chef and, you know, I didn't get approved. So in my head, you're a random dude messaging me. I didn't apply. And you're telling me I'll be a great fit for the biggest show on Fox for food? Yeah. And Gordon Ramsay, you're lying to me. Whatever. So I gave it 2 hours and then I was like, okay, let me message him back. Messaged him back, and I kid you not, within 24 hours, I'm sitting there meeting CEOs of the show, producers. They're telling me all these steps I have to do. 2 weeks later, I'm on a plane flying to Connecticut. We're going to film the show.
Do you have any sense of how these guys discovered you? Were you building a reputation in town?
You know, I recently worked a pop-up with two other chefs, and, you know, we recently had a couple of news clips that I've done. And so my reputation was slowly building, but I didn't think it was building to the point that I was going to, you know, catch the attention of Gordon Ramsay or Hell's Kitchen. You know, I'm a small town kid from Sacramento. I never really thought I was ever going to be on that stage of standing, you know, toe-to-toe with Gordon Ramsay talking food ideas.
And what was your impression of him and the show before?
Before the show, he's mean. You know, he's a typical chef. I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, work on the line with him screaming down my back or not. So, you know, I thought like that since I was five. I mean, I've watched him as a kid, and he's had that same energy as a kid. I'm going to yell. I want my standards my way, and it's not your way, it's my way. It's, you know, I respect that.
But you mentioned typical. I mean, he's kind of an amplified version, but like some version of that had been in your work experience, it sounds like?
Yeah, some versions of that. I mean, you know, you go to some places, especially back in the day, you know, that yeller, throw, scream kitchen was real. But nowadays, a lot of, you know, chefs, especially the chefs leading the wave, you know, we have a lot more empathy and, you know, we understand more, you know. Mental health in the chef world is very, very crucial. So why, you know, be that stressful chef at work when you can, you know, create beautiful plates with your team and really build your team to a stronger, you know, strong ship.
So you've seen a change in culture throughout your career?
100%. It used to be a lot more, I want it this way, now more to a lot more understanding. I'll train you, I'll coach you, and I'll be that true coach that, you know, a lot of younger chefs and cooks are looking for.
So let's talk about where you work now, Sunrisa Senior Living. How is cooking in a senior living center similar to working in a restaurant kitchen? How's it different?
Oh, it's different in every aspect. You know, senior living, we have to really monitor diets and we have to control, you know, a lot of specifications. Sometimes one of our seniors can't have too much salt or they're diabetic and they're gluten-free. So it's just really, you know, breaking down their diets and putting forth the best meal that we can. Luckily, we have a lot of great vendors that we work with. We get fresh produce in and we utilize that. And we try to create what a restaurant can just for senior living. Now, in a restaurant, there is no limitations. You can kind of cook anything you want as the chef makes the menu. There's no salt limitation. Of course, you have your vegan specials and all that. But in senior living, you have to really specify there's no salt, there's no added in sugars. You have to have gluten-free that's separated for your allium allergy. So senior living is a lot more tactical in sense, but it's a lot more joyful to me.
Why is that?
Because, you know, in restaurants, I don't really get to see my customer. You can come in, you eat a, you know, a ribeye. Oh, cool. Send my thanks to the chef. Where here, you know, if Jane eats that ribeye and it's great, Jane's walking up to my door and she's going to ask for me because she lives there and she's going to give me her 2 cents, good or bad, and she's going to walk away. And that's every day. And I love it. I love hearing their responses because, like I said, they live here 365 days a year. I feed them 3 times a day plus a snack. If I don't nail their meals every day, it's going to be an uproar. So that's the biggest difference between restaurant and senior living. I kind of have to make sure every meal is perfect at every single time.
My sense is that a lot of chefs would not want that much limitation on their craft, but I'm hearing you and it's almost like you feel like it's one more challenge for you to enjoy overcoming.
Yeah. I love challenges. I love to compete and, you know, why not? Senior living chefs get a bad rep. And I'm here to change that. I've been working hard for the last 12 years to really transform what people think of senior living food. We can compete with really good restaurants in Sacramento as well. It's just people opening up their eyes and giving us the opportunity. Come in and have a meal with your loved ones. Why take them out? Have that meal at a cheaper price. And who knows, you might like this more than the restaurant plate you've been eating for the last 10 years.
Do you feel like you're a pioneer in this space? Are there other chefs and senior centers that are trying to raise this craft to an art?
I can't say I'm the pioneer or I'm the first one to take this lead. There's been a lot of other chefs before me that have honestly laid down the blueprint of what to do, how to do. And lucky right now, I'm mentored up and I'm teamed up with a really killer chef. And me and him are grabbing the bulls by the horn and we're taking charge. We're here to be, you know, the lead face in Roseville. And we've been at that mission for the last year.
What would you say to a young chef who's just coming up and trying to figure out this crazy dream into career? Maybe they're struggling with something and they feel kind of isolated. Like, what would you say to that person?
Stay true to you, know what you want. And just remember, in service, don't take anything personal. I spent 10 years in really hard kitchens and not once did I ever take anything personal. At the end of the day, the product matters. The chef needs his food out. The sous needs his food out. And just stay grounded. Stay humble. You know, you're going to find your way as long as you stay true to yourself.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me in Sactown. You know, let's get behind me. I'm doing this for you guys. So let's go Sacramento.
That was my conversation with Sacramento chef and Hell's Kitchen contestant Anthony Vo about his passion for cooking and his culinary career. That's Insight for today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Sarit Leshinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Our audio engineer is Tyler Webb. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. Our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Alan Young, in for Vicky Gonzalez. Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you back here on Monday.